Welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Healthnetics CBD.
Mandaloon's a very nice colt that we're pointing for the LeCompte that actually breeds this morning here at the fairgrounds. Had a fantastic work. I think I had him in a minute and four fifths for the 5/8, and he's doing extremely well. So, you know, I think he could be a really good colt.
Mandaloon's working harder now. Mandaloon comes up alongside and strikes the lead right at the 16th. Mandaloon runs down Twilight Blue, and Mandaloon wins again.
Sunpass, Genmont Homebred by Munnings. That's really good filly. We're going to look at either the Silver Bullet Day or the Martha Washington with her as well. But she's a good filly.
As they come past the 16th, where Sunpath accelerates away with authority for Florent Giroux, it's Sunpath. And Sunpath just romped in here by 9.
Divine Comedy was a filly just recently broke the maiden circuit off that was able to carry her speed around 2 turns in what was her second start. So, you know, we have a good group of 3 fillies as well.
Divine Comedy leads them into the final fairgrounds furlong, leading by 6 now from Wicked Bisou, charging with Empress Catherine between horses and Take Charge Lauren left to battle it out with Florent Giroux. It's Divine Comedy, and Divine Comedy will take them all the way.
Now, here's Mike Pena.
Well, it's certainly no secret that there will be plenty of eyes focused on trainer Brad Cox and his talented runners at the fairgrounds later today. The Derby edging ever closer, and the road to the Kentucky Derby stops off in the Bayou with the $200,000 Grade 3 LeCompte Stakes, the featured event of the day, the winner picking up 10 points toward a spot in the starting gate on the first Saturday in May. And when you think about the first Saturday in May, at least for those of you here in Central Kentucky, it's a little difficult to think about that day. Or maybe that's all you're thinking about right now, because you look out the window and there is a coating of snow, a couple of inches of snow on the ground. Not sure how expected that was, but it's there. And this will warm you up a little bit. 105 days, 9 hours, 42 minutes, and 48 seconds away from the first Saturday in May. May 1st, 2021, the earliest a Derby day could possibly be. And looking forward to getting there sooner rather than later. Good morning once again, everyone. Welcome to the show that launched a network. This is the Equine Forum, presented by Healthnetics CBD, and it's right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch, ready to roll for the next couple of hours. You, of course, are listening to the show throughout North America on Sirius 219, XM 201, on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country, or you're tuned in digitally with our live streaming or the podcast of the show on our HRRN website at horseracingradio.net. Well, Mandaloon is the 3-1 morning line favorite in today's LeCompte for trainer Brad Cox and owner Judmont Farms. And the racing world still mourning the loss of Prince Khalid bin Abdullah, who passed away at the age of 83 this week. The owner of fabled Judmont Farms owned more than 500 stakes winners, including 118 Grade 1 or Group 1 winners. And I thought Garrett O'Rourke, the longtime farm manager at Judmont, the division here in Kentucky, summed everything up perfectly with what it meant to be associated with Prince Khalid. He said, "I have happily worked for Prince Khalid at Judmont for half my life, and there are many in our U.S. management hierarchy that are here longer. Our pride in working for such a gentleman was only equaled by the collective pleasure we all took from cheering his great horses over the years in some of the sport's great races." Judmont is a family. And the head of that family, the boss, if you will, was beloved by those who worked for him and worked with him. And his commitment to the sport, his great success, brought joy to so many who work in the industry and so many fans who fell in love with the vast litany of top-class runners wearing the green silks with the pink sash, the white sleeves, and the pink cap. There is now a huge, huge void in thoroughbred racing. And maybe, just maybe, their undefeated 3-year-old Mandaloon begins the healing process with a big win in the LeCompte today. And, oh, by the way, with a win there, puts himself on the road to the Kentucky Derby. A race, you think about all the big races that Judmont has won over the years. We talk about it every year. The Derby is elusive. The Derby is one of those races that you can win thousands and thousands of races. The Derby is probably the most difficult. Judmont has never won the Kentucky Derby. Now, in deference to them, in fairness, they've only had five starters. They've been second a couple of times. Aptitude in 2000. Empire Maker in 2003. Tacitus, of course, in 2019, finished third. Imagine the scene if Mandaloon were to somehow find a way to get there and get to the winner's circle on the first Saturday of May. Yeah, that would be an emotional winner's circle. It always is for the Kentucky Derby, but this would be extra special, and then you'd have to think that maybe Mandaloon, who knows, had a little help from above. But he has to get past the LeCompte today and then start the process of working down that road to the Kentucky Derby. I'm going to visit with Fairgrounds announcer John G. Dooley coming up at 9:40 Eastern. That's toward the end of the program today. John will be here to preview not just the LeCompte, but the Silver Bullet Day and all of the big races coming up at Fairgrounds this afternoon. Norm Cassie is going to be with me at 8:35 Eastern. He, of course, will saddle Mary Lou Whitney's Beep Beep, who was cross-entered in both the LeCompte and an allowance race. Going to go in the allowance race. We'll scratch out of the LeCompte and run in the allowance race earlier on the card. But Norm has a few horses entered today. They're all three-year-olds, so I'll get a chance to talk to him about Beep Beep and about his other contenders, and we'll see if Norm can find a way to get himself on the road to the Kentucky Derby. 9 o'clock Eastern, I'll welcome in Natalie Voss, editor-in-chief of the Pollock Report. She just pulled off a feat that is rarely accomplished in the sport of thoroughbred racing. She is a two-time Eclipse Award winner this year alone, well, 2020. But she'll be getting that award coming up in just a couple of weeks. It's her second and third Eclipse Awards. And the two pieces that she wrote that appeared in Pollock Report, both pertaining to aftercare. So Natalie will be here at 9 o'clock to share her thoughts on that subject and on those pieces that are now award-winning. Poll question today, which trainer will saddle the winner of today's LeCompte Stakes at the Fairgrounds? And I thought it'd be a little different today. Instead of just asking you which horse, let's shake it up a little bit. Which trainer will saddle the winner of today's LeCompte Stakes at the Fairgrounds? And I'll give you four choices. Well, three and then another category. Brad Cox, Steve Asmussen, Mike Stidham, or other. And if you choose the other category, let me know. Maybe it's Dallas Stewart. Maybe Wayne Catalano. Who is it? Which trainer will saddle the winner of today's LeCompte Stakes at the Fairgrounds? Brad Cox, Steve Asmussen, Mike Stidham, or other. You can go to at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook to let me know your thoughts, and I'll update the poll question later in the program. Also later in the show, and you won't want to miss this, make sure you stay for the full 2 hours with me here this morning. A huge, huge, historic announcement coming up later in the show. It is probably the biggest announcement that I have made pertaining to the Horse Racing Radio Network and our programming since I announced that we had acquired the rights to broadcast the Kentucky Derby back in 2011. This is huge. Don't miss it. It comes up later in the show. And, by the way, the Eclipse Awards. I talked about Natalie Voss. The Eclipse Awards fast approaching. They'll be here January 28th. When I come back, I'll tell you which horses I feel will be walking away with some hardware at that event on the 28th. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by HealthNetix CBD. For amazing relief of everyday aches and pains, try HealthNetix premium brand CBD.
Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince is the leading third crop sire by number of stakes winners, stakes horses, graded stakes winners, and graded stakes horses. He's also a top five general sire by the number of two-year-old winners so far in 2020. and his current crop of yearlings is his first conceived at a $25,000 stud fee. Yearlings from Cairo Prince's fourth crop sold for up to $400,000 this year, underlining his incredible commercial appeal. At $15,000 stands and nurses for 2021, Cairo Prince is value in the extreme, standing at Airdrie Stud. Think about it.
Hi, this is Joe Nicholson. During these difficult times, the team at Nicholson Insurance Agency sends best wishes to all for good health. We can all look forward to better times ahead when this pandemic is behind us. But in the meantime, we need to stay safe. Although the staff at Nicholson Insurance is working from home, phone calls into the office are forwarded so that service remains intact. Customer service professionals continue to be ready, willing, and able to help you with your insurance needs, whether it be equine, farm, home, auto, business, or life. Several of Nicholson Insurance Agency's companies are returning portions of auto premiums because of reduced travel during the isolation period, which I think is the right thing to do. Please call 859-224-7080, Nicholson Insurance Agency. Thank you.
The National HBPA is continuously working to protect the health and welfare of horses by advocating and funding research to help reduce equine injuries, lobbying for a national testing lab to oversee and establish absolute uniform laboratory protocols, advocating for every track to undergo an annual independent surface assessment, passionately supporting off-the-track thoroughbred retirement facilities and adoption groups, and so much more. See additional HBPA initiatives at nationalhbpa.com.
Racing fans, although there is still no public admittance, you can watch every Santa Anita race free of charge at santaanita.com/live, and you can watch and wager at First Bet. That's first.com/bet. And with the resumption of racing at Golden Gate Fields, the $5 Golden Hour Double and the $1 Golden Hour Pick Four are now once again available. This Saturday is California Cup Day at Santa Anita, and we'll have a total of five stakes, including the $200,000 Cal Cup Derby, which was won by two-time horse of the year California Chrome in 2014. The $200,000 Unusual Heat Turf Classic presented by City National Bank and the $200,000 Leanne Howard Cal Cup Oaks will also figure prominently on a 10-race card. And fans, be sure to mark this Monday Martin Luther King Day on your calendar, as we'll have special holiday racing highlighted by the Grade 3 Megahertz Stakes for fillies and mares. First post time is at 12 noon.
This is Elliot Walden, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Harvest Moon is the leader with a quarter mile to go in the distaff. Leading Monoboy Girl a length and a half. Valiant's third up on the outside. Harvest Moon is right there. Swiss Skydiver is looking for running room down toward the rail. Monoboy Girl got the jump, though, and she leads the field into the final furlong. Valiant's to her outside. Harvest Moon third. Swiss Skydiver fourth. Valiant's trying to catch Monoboy Girl. Late run from Dunbar Road to third. Monomoy Girl in front. Monomoy Girl wins the distaff by two lengths on the line for Floron Giroux in 1:47.84.
Kurt Becker with the call. Just brilliant. Monomoy Girl capping off an undefeated 2020 campaign with that win in the Breeders' Cup distaff. A perfect 4-for-4. If Monomoy Girl is not voted the champion older dirt female, I'll shave my head. How's that? There's no way that she does not get older dirt female. She is, in my opinion, the most likely horse to walk away with hardware. Well, I guess you could say Authentic, too, is the champion three-year-old. I don't think there's any doubt about that one either. But those two just absolutely brilliant throughout 2020. And, again, looking forward to the Eclipse Awards coming up on January 28th. I'm going to talk more about some of the other categories, maybe some of the ones that I thought were a little more wide open than the older dirt female and the champion three-year-old title. I'll do that in a minute. But want to remind you that if you are hearing me talk about Healthnetics CBD for the very first time, and you might be, you're probably wondering, what on earth is Healthnetics? Well, I would tell you that Healthnetics is a premium brand CBD company, and while many of you have heard that term, CBD, it's kind of become part of our culture now, you might not be exactly sure what CBD is or which companies even to trust. So I'll clear it up for you a little bit here. Healthnetics, their products are all natural. They're THC-free, and they're made right here in the USA. They're focused on quality and purity, and all of their products undergo rigorous lab testing with those results posted directly on the packaging, so you can read all about it. If you have a few aches and pains, a couple of sleep issues, maybe anxiety, which a lot of people are dealing with in these difficult times, stress as well, whatever it might be, give Healthnetics a try. And with their 100% money-back guarantee, you really have nothing to lose. And how about this? I'll do you one better. Go to healthnetics.com to place your order today and use promo code HRRN, pretty simple, HRRN, and you're going to get 15% off your order plus free shipping. Visit healthnetics.com today and take advantage of that offer. And again, with that money-back guarantee, you really have nothing to lose. Fantastic stuff. Healthnetics.com. Big announcement from Santa Anita that came out late yesterday. A couple of them, actually. One pertaining to the guarantee in the $1 million 20-cent Rainbow Six jackpot pool today. Going to guarantee that at $1 million for the 20-cent single-ticket Rainbow Pick 6 jackpot pool with that program later this afternoon. And if you're going to be betting the races, that is certainly something to take advantage of out at Santa Anita. The other announcement pertaining to Bruce Headley, and I want to send out condolences to the family of the longtime California trainer who passed away yesterday at the age of 86 due to the effects from a stroke. Probably best known for conditioning Eclipse champion sprinter Kona Gold. Bruce, when he retired, had saddled 970 career winners with purse earnings of more than $38 million, and no doubt that Bruce Headley will leave a void with racing fans and with horsemen in California. He will certainly be missed. Passed away at the age of 86 yesterday. Well, I told you that Norm Cassie is going to be with me in a little bit, 8:35 Eastern. We'll talk about his three-year-olds at the fairgrounds. Our industry star of the week comes up right around 8:53 Eastern time this morning. I think you're going to enjoy that piece. Natalie Voss from the Pollock Report at 9 o'clock to talk about her two Eclipse Award-winning feature pieces that she wrote for the Pollock Report. Today's first bet gets you ready to bet the races today at 9:20 Eastern, and at 9:40 you'll hear from John Dooley, the announcer at Fairgrounds, as he previews the big race day in the Bayou this afternoon, plus that huge announcement. I mean, I'm telling you, it is historic. That'll be later in the show, second half of the show, so make sure you're tuned in for that big, big announcement pertaining to the Horse Racing Radio Network, and I'm really excited to bring that your way later this afternoon, or this morning. How about this? So you look at the categories of the Eclipse Awards that seem to be a slam dunk. And those categories I just mentioned, Monomoy Girl, Older Dirt Female, she has to win that, right? Three-year-old champion, Authentic, no doubt there. If you start looking at some of the other ones that are a little more wide open, I think Older Dirt Male is pretty, you could go a couple different ways in there. I think Improbable is going to win it. My three, Improbable, Vekoma, and Nick's Go is my third choice in there. But I really think Improbable is going to win the Older Dirt Male, which is going to set up an interesting debate for Horse of the Year. You'll have Authentic and Improbable as the top two choices. And then for me, I put Tis the Law in there because when you submit your votes for the Eclipse Awards, you're required to pick three choices. And then it's a cumulative collection of the number of votes, and they decide who will win based on the top three selections. But I went with Authentic as Horse of the Year over Improbable. You look at him in the Breeders' Cup Classic, Authentic winning that one. I think he gets Horse of the Year. Some people will say Improbable is maybe a little closer to Authentic than you would think, but I don't think it's really that close. I think Authentic will get it. Two-year-old male. He had a few ways to go here, but putting the emphasis on the Breeders' Cup victory by Essential Quality, I think he has to be your champion two-year-old male. My second choice in there, Fire at Will, a horse that had a tremendous campaign in 2020, won three out of four starts including the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, to wrap it up. But I think when you look at essential quality and you see three starts, three wins, a win in the Breeders' Futurity at Keeneland, win in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, I think that's pretty clear that essential quality will get the two-year-old male. Champion two-year-old filly. I looked at this one for a little while. You know, when I sit down to put together my selections for my votes for the Eclipse Awards, it's not as easy as just say, oh, yeah, VQuist, she won the Juvenile Fillies. She's got to be the one. That is who I went with on top. VQuist had a really nice 2020. Wins the Grade 1 Spinaway in her second start after being beaten in her maiden. Gets beaten in Frisette, comes back and wins the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. Aunt Pearl didn't get beat at all. She was a perfect 3-for-3, including a win in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf. That's a Grade 1. But all three of her victories came on turf. So how do you weigh that? I really went back and forth on this one. It wouldn't shock me. For people that voted for Aunt Pearl for the two-year-old filly champion, it would be tough to argue. The only argument you can make is, okay, well, she didn't win on the main track. But is that the prerequisite to being voted champion two-year-old filly? If it was, then Aunt Pearl wouldn't even be one of the selections. So I did go with VQuist. I gave just a little more credence to winning the Juvenile Fillies on the dirt as opposed to the Juvenile Fillies turf on the grass. But you could go, that's going to be closer than people think. I was really torn on that one, but I ended up giving VQuist the slight edge. She'll probably win it because I think a lot of the voters are going to think the same way that I did on that one, but couldn't argue with Aunt Pearl in there either. She's very deserving of a championship. How about the three-year-old filly title? You have Swiss Skydiver, who beat the boys in the Preakness, came back and was seventh behind Monomoy Girl in the Breeders' Cup Distaff. You have Gamine, who rattled off four victories and six starts in 2020. Her win in the Philly and Mare Sprint, track record performance, just breathtaking. If you look at what she did earlier in the season, she won the Grade 1 Acorn just by 18 lengths. I mean, held on by 18 lengths to win that one. The Test, she dominated that one by 7. And then came back and was third in the Kentucky Oaks and won the Philly and Mare Sprint. Difficult decision. Those are the two. She Dares the Devil, winner of the Kentucky Oaks. Okay, she was my third choice, but I ended up going with Swiss Skydiver. I gave Swiss Skydiver the nod because she had won the two Grade Ones, the Alabama mile and a quarter at Saratoga, and the Preakness mile and 3/16 against the boys, and defeated likely Horse of the Year Authentic, and definitely the champion three-year-old male. So that, to me, was enough to give her that edge over Gamine. But, again, you could go a couple of different ways in that category. But for me, Swiss Skydiver is going to get it. How about the male sprinter? This was one that I really spent a lot of time on. Whitmore, Vekoma. Those were the top two for me. You had Volatile, who was undefeated, won the Grade 1 AG Vanderbilt. But that's kind of a, you know, it's a situation when you start looking, and I do try to look at the entire body of work when I'm putting these together. But it's a situation when you start looking at that and you say, okay, out of sight, out of mind. Yeah, you were perfect. You were 3-for-3. Haven't seen you since winning the AG Vanderbilt at Saratoga in July. But then again, Vekoma, same situation, 3-for-3. Haven't seen you since winning the Met Mile, July 4th at Belmont. So how much does recency play into it? Whitmore, that emotional, spectacular win in the Breeders' Cup Sprint is going to be fresh on the minds of many voters. And I think, looking at the overall body of work, 3 wins, 2 seconds from 7 starts, the win in the Breeders' Cup Sprint, that to me is what pushed me over the edge on Whitmore. But for those who voted for Vekoma or even Volatile, hey, I can see it. I can see why you would go that direction. Female sprinter, Gamine, Serengeti Empress, Bell's the one. The male turf horse, another category I spent tons of time on, came down to Channel Maker for me. And I never thought that I would be looking at Channel Maker as an Eclipse Award winner. But, you know, he is the only horse among the candidates for the male turf title with multiple grade one wins in 2020. There were others that had won grade ones, but just one. Channel Maker won two. That, to me, was the tiebreaker. Channel Maker took the Turf Classic at Belmont in October, and before that, the Sword Dancer at Saratoga. Those two grade ones, enough to put me over the edge. I took Channel Maker. Female turf horse, Rushing Fall as the American, but I think Tarnawa is probably going to get it. I think we'll give the edge to the Irish-bred Tarnawa. So that's how I see it. Steeplechase horse, Moscato. How about that? A lot of people abstain from that category. I don't get it. You can look at the PPs. You can look at the PPs and figure it out. You don't have to abstain and not cast a vote. Heck, I think there were only 4 choices to choose from in the steeplechase candidates. Look at it, handicap it. You can read the past performances just like you would for a flat race. And take a stand. Moscato, to me, is probably going to win that one. All right, so that's the way I see it. The Eclipse Awards, January 28th. I'll talk with three-time Eclipse Award winner, 2 this year, Natalie Voss, 9 o'clock, about aftercare. Norm Cassie is coming up in the next segment. He follows our Calling All 3-Year-Olds segment, which is presented by Spendthrift. Our Industry Star of the Week still to come in the first half of the show, and toward the end of the program, John G. Dooley from the Fairgrounds. A lot of things to get to, but it's time now for your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you by Lexus of Lexington, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
On Sunday afternoon, October 28, 1973, 40,000-plus fans turned out at Toronto's Woodbine Racecourse in somewhat less than auspicious weather to witness the 36th renewal of one of North America's premier racing events. It was the Canadian International Championship Stakes over 1 5/8 miles on the grass. The object of all the attention in the race was the Meadow Stables Secretariat, who'd amassed a record of 15 wins and 20 starts going into the event. He was the American Triple Crown winner, having been the first to accomplish that feat since Citation in 1948, had set 3 track records, a course record, and 2 world records, and he was unscathed on the greenery. He had been Horse of the Year at 2 and was being mentioned in the same breath as the legendary Man of War in terms of ability. There was a genuine feeling of excitement surrounding his appearance in the International. His owner, Penny Tweedy, and his conditioner, Lucien Lauren, had selected this race over the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe, the Jockey Club Gold Cup, and the Washington, D.C. International for this particular start. On this championship day, people were lined up 3 deep along every path he took to catch but a fleeting glimpse of this marvelous thoroughbred who had been bemonikered Big Red, the same as the aforementioned Man of War. There were 11 other horses entered in the race, which brought the net worth to the winner to a rather tidy $92,000-plus. The reasons for the competition were, first, that Secretariat's regular rider, Ronnie Turcotte, was not to be in the saddle. He had received a 5-day suspension in New York, which precluded his availability as reinsman aboard Big Red. Eddie Maple drew the riding assignment, and he had been accustomed to riding Reba Ridge, Secretariat's stablemate. Secondly, the turf at Woodbine was softer and more dense than at Belmont, where Secretariat had great success on the grass. At post time, the weather conditions turned abominable, from a slight drizzle to a light sleet. Late on that Sunday afternoon, Kennedy Road went on out to set the early fractions and continued in the van after the first mile, setting fractions of 47-2 for the half, 137-3 for the mile. That was all she wrote, so to speak. Secretariat, the big golden chestnut was set down by Maple and literally exploded in typical Secretariat fashion, zooming to the front going into the last of three turns. He led by three, then by four, then by six, and then by 12 open lengths, leaving a totally demolished quality field of thoroughbreds in his wake. At the furlong marker, Maple eased up on the big colt and allowed him to waltz home the easiest kind of winner by six open lengths in a final time of 2:44.4, that time being only four ticks off the track record, and this in spite of being eased up, so to speak, at the end. With a 92,000-plus winner share of the purse, he pushed his career earnings to a new all-time single-season mark of $860,000 and surpassed the great Damascus's mark in so doing. He also became the fourth greatest money winner of all time, trailing only Kelso, Roundtable, and Buckpasser. It all happened on a meteorically, so to speak, miserable day before 40,000-plus racing fans at Woodbine in Canada, Sunday, October 18th or 28th, 1973, in the Canadian International, a truly great performance and indeed a great moment in thoroughbred racing.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Penna, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit Lexus of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at Lexus of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes every fall. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
10Day Equine and Pet Care products have been keeping world-class equine athletes happy and healthy for generations. Keep your equine athlete looking and performing well with 10Day Next Generation Wound and Skin Care Treatment. Along with nutritional supplements, leg and muscle care products, salves, hoof care, poultice, topical aids, and grooming products. Visit 10dayhorse.com today.
Justify, a four-time Grade 1 winner, Eclipse Champion 3-year-old, Horse of the Year, and the only undefeated Triple Crown winner. By Sire of Sires, Scat Daddy, Justify's first foals sold for up to $600,000 at the recent November sales, while his in-foal mares were led by the three-time Grade 1 winning daughter of Uncle Mo, Bast, who sold for $4.2 million to Spendthrift Farm. Justify has covered over 80 Grade 1 winners or dams of Grade 1 winners in his first 2 years at Ashford. Call the team at Ashford today to book your mare while there are still seasons available.
Pin Oak Studs Alternation ranks highly among Kentucky's fourth crop sires by percentage of black type winners from runners. With nearly $5.5 million in earnings to date, Alternation was represented by five black type horses in 2020. His brilliant Kentucky Oaks winner, Serengeti Empress, won the Grade 1 Ballerina at Saratoga and was runner up in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. First or second in six Grade 1 events, Serengeti Empress amassed over $2.1 million. Alternation stands at Pin Oak Stud.
Attention horsemen, nominations for this year's Triple Crown are now open, and the first closing is Saturday, January 23rd, and a payment of $600 must accompany that nomination. The fastest and easiest way to nominate your horse to this year's Triple Crown is online with a credit card by visiting thetriplecrown.com, or you can call Kelly Danner at Churchill Downs at 502-639-3825. The second closing is March 29th, but it will cost you $6,000 on that date. So it's best to get your nominations in early at thetriplecrown.com.
Hello, this is Steve Cawthon, winner of the Triple Crown 1978 Aboard Affirmed, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Healthnetics CBD.
Patriarch Artie dropping back inside fourth. Woman is under pressure from fifth. Convention is as well. Pregame's coming on with a late run, but is switched out wide. Top of the stretch. Race Sereno and beep, 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 beep. And Race Sereno to slug it out with a furlong to go. And beep, beep's in front now. Beep Beep grabs the lead with a furlong left. Ray Serino's fighting on, but is back into second. A long way back to the rest. There's 100 yards to go, and Beep Beep is bounding home. Beep Beep wrapped up in the end, wins by 2.5, maybe 3. Ray Serino was second. It's tight for third among pregame Wellman and Spheroid.
Probably dating myself, but all you can think about is the Roadrunner, right? Beep Beep. Big win, that maiden win, Travis Stone bringing them home November 29th, race number 8 at Churchill Downs, and Beep Beep back in action today in an allowance race for trainer Norm Cassie. Cross-entered into the LeCompte, but will not go in that race, going to compete earlier this afternoon in an allowance race. I'm going to talk to Norm Cassie coming up momentarily. We'll talk about not just Beep Beep, but his other contenders that he has in today. All of them are three-year-olds, so looking forward to that visit. Speaking of three-year-olds, it is time for our weekly segment where we take a look at the top three-year-olds all over the country. Bobby Newman does it. It's called Calling All Three-Year-Olds, and it's presented by Spendthrift.
They're all in line. And they're off.
Spendthrift Farm presents Calling All Three-Year-Olds with Bobby Newman.
The Road to the Roses kicks back in this week, or should I say the Roads to the Roses. After all, horses can take the New York Road, the Florida Road, the California Road, or several other options to reach the final goal, the Kentucky Derby. This week, both the New Orleans and Arkansas roads get some traffic. Let's start with the Grade 3 LeCompte Stakes at Fairgrounds today. A big field of 11 entered the mile in a 16th test, with the highly touted Mandaloon the likely favorite despite drawing a tough post position. He's 2-for-2 sprinting in Kentucky, working very well of late, and bred to handle the extra distance today, being by Into Mischief out of an Empire Maker mare. But it's definitely not just Mandaloon and everyone else. Midnight Bourbon is coming off a short layoff for top trainer Steve Asmussen after being graded stakes place twice as a two-year-old. Arabian Prince also comes off a graded stakes place performance in the Kentucky Jockey Club last out. Then there are up-and-comers Beep Beep, Proxy, Regular Guy, Game Day Play, Santa Cruiser, Manor House, and Dynamite all coming off wins in their most recent starts. Add it up and you've got the makings of a very contentious race. The winner gets 10 valuable Derby points. Next Friday is opening day at Oaklawn Park, and the 1 mile Smarty Jones Stakes is the feature. Once again, 10 Derby points go to the winner of this race that starts the Oaklawn Path, which traditionally includes the Southwest, Rebel, and Arkansas Derby. The Brad Cox-trained Cato River figures to be one of the favorites in the Smarty Jones. He torched his maiden rivals by almost 10 lengths, going the one-turn mile at Churchill Downs last time out. Cox thinks he also could be better going two turns. Remington Park Springboard Mile victor Senor Buscador is another possible entrant, and he would be a major factor if he shows up. Speaking of Brad Cox, he may have a tough time keeping his talented three-year-olds apart. While Mandaloon and Cato River represent him this week, he's got two-year-old champion Essential Quality back in training and waiting in the wings, too. I'll be back with this week's top five list right after this word from Spendthrift.
Malibu Moon, the sire of 17 Grade 1 winners on dirt, second in the world only to Tappet among active sires. Malibu Moon's progeny have won as many or more of America's most celebrated dirt races as any active sire, especially for three-year-old colts, including the Kentucky Derby, Florida Derby, Santa Anita Derby, and Arkansas Derby, among others. A living legend, Malibu Moon, AP Indy's best sire, standing at Spendthrift Farm.
This week's top five list of Derby contenders looks like this. Number one, Essential Quality, undefeated, the two-year-old champ looking at either the Risen Star or the Southwest Stakes for his three-year-old debut. Number two, Life is Good, undefeated son of Into Mischief looking at the Grade 2 San Felipe or Grade 2 Rebel for his next start. Number three, Senor Buscador, another one who's undefeated. Big win in the Springboard Mile last time out. May run in the Smarty Jones this Friday or the Risen Star February 13th at Fairgrounds. Number four, Mandaloon, another one who's undefeated. He's running today in the LeCompte. And number five, Prime Factor, an impressive maiden winner at Gulfstream in December, undecided for his next start. That's your Calling All Three-Year-Old segment presented by Spendthrift, the Breeders' Farm.
Well, somebody who will be calling a few three-year-olds later today is trainer Norm Cassie. I told you his Beep Beep was cross-entered into the LeCompte and an allowance race earlier on the card today at the fairgrounds. He has chosen to go with that allowance race. He'll saddle 4 3-year-olds, and Norm is with me now here on HRRN. Norm, I know it's a busy morning, so I appreciate the time. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Mike. Thanks for having me on, as always.
Yeah, no, of course. Big day for you at the fairgrounds. I mentioned that Beep Beep will not go in the LeCompte. You make the decision to go into the allowance race in which he was cross-entered. Talk about making that call.
Well, I was always, you know, I really think Beep Beep's a talented horse. You know, he's still got a lot of questions to answer, and I was always leaning to do the more conservative route. And, you know, when the post positions came out and we were drawn outside in the allowance, I thought it was pretty obvious what pretty easy decision. I just want his first two-turn race to be as comfortable as possible. I feel like with the inside draw and the LeCompte, he would have to go and then be pressed the entire way around, and I don't want that to be the case for his first start around two turns. So it was a pretty easy decision.
You know, so often it comes down to post position when trainers make these decisions. If they have a horse cross-entered in a stake and then an allowance race, for example, the way that you did, how much of it, Norm, is the competition that plays into that decision?
Honestly, Mike, if you look at it, I think you'd be hard-pressed to pick which race is actually more difficult between the allowance and the LeCompte. I think they're pretty – both of them are pretty contentious spots. I don't think one is easier than the other. I just want to be conservative. I just want to see my horse hopefully win, get through this allowance condition that he's eligible for, and then we'll map out what's next after that.
Yeah, it's race number 8. That's the allowance race. It's 1 1/16 on the main track. So as you said, a two-turn race, the first time that Beep Beep will go around two turns. You have a second horse entered in there as well. That's AC Expressway. A little bit of a different scenario. AC Expressway making his fourth career start, whereas for Beep Beep, it will be his second. Tell me a little bit more about AC Expressway.
Well, Mike, truthfully, both those two colts have been 1 and 1A in our barn basically all summer and fall. I've always been very high on AC Expressway. I thought his first start was basically a gimme, and I still can't figure out why he ran so poorly in the Kingland start. It was a two-turn race, so obviously I'm a little apprehensive, but he seems like a two-turn horse to me, and he's been training awesome all winter leading up to this race, and I feel like he still deserves one more shot to prove to us whether or not he's a two-turn horse, and that's why he shows up in the allowance race today.
Yeah, his lone win came last time out. It was a maiden claiming race, 40,000 at Churchill, and of course he's been, you know, now training and freshened up here for his 3-year-old debut. When you put him in a race like that, Norm, after the two disappointing efforts in the maiden special weights, are you just crossing your fingers thinking, okay, I know this horse has ability, don't tank him from me, because I think that if he gets some confidence, he can be pretty good?
That's exactly what it is, Mike. I feel like you almost got to get out of jail free card when your horse runs two back-to-back starts so poorly. Nobody's going to be looking at him. So you basically get to run in a race for free, in a maiden claiming race for free, without feeling like somebody's going to take him, even though, you know, in the back of your mind, you know the horse is a talented horse. But somebody would have to use a lot of imagination to claim a horse for 40 that's ran so poorly. So that's what you do. You get him in an easier race, and you hopefully build some confidence and learn some more about the horse. Honestly, it was a maiden 40, but the way that he ran it and the time that he ran it, he actually ran a very, very good race that day. So, like I said, it's more about the fact that he's always been a horse. It's been a tremendous workhorse. He looks like $1 million. He trains like $1 million. And, we still believe he's right there with Beep Beep.
I want to go back to Beep Beep for a minute, and I want to ask you kind of a philosophical question here, Norm. From a trainer's perspective, I've heard over the years some trainers prefer to give their horses two sprint races before they stretch them out. Others say, no, you know what, if he's got a good foundation and he runs well in that first sprint, no issues with stretching him out in the second start. That's what you're doing with Beep Beep here after that maiden win at Churchill in November. What's your overall philosophy on stretching a horse out?
You know, a lot of it just has to do with circumstances and the horse. I purposely, we had multiple options at Churchill in the fall where to run Beep Beep. I purposely picked the 7/8 distance because I knew the second start, win or lose, he was going to go two turns his next start. He acts like a two-turn horse. I'm not a big fan of starting a horse two turns on the dirt, their very first start. So 7/8 is the next logical thing. You know, if I didn't think he was a two-turn horse, we probably would have started three quarters and then went from there. But that, you know, it's hard to get a horse ready going 7/8 their first start. And we had that much confidence in him that he could do that. And we were already kind of mapping things out for the spring, you know, back in the fall.
How cool is it to give a leg up to a jockey like Joe Talamo this afternoon, for example, who will be aboard Beep Beep, and see him in those Eaton blue and brown silks?
It's just a privilege that I can't describe, to be honest. It's, you know, I always joke and I always say the kind of the same thing to a lot of people. You know, I've been fortunate enough to be in some really unique win pictures, you know, between Breeders' Cups with Dad and Royal Ascot. And I think for me personally, I broke a horse's maiden name, Mischievous Bird, at Gulfstream two winters ago, and it was the last win pick that Mary Lou Whitney was ever in. And to me, that is the coolest thing I've ever been a part of. And for her and her husband, John, to basically you know, put their seal of approval on me, a young trainer who's just trying to get things going. It's a tremendous honor.
Yeah, visiting with trainer Norm Cassie here on the Equine Forum presented by Healthnetics CBD, and it's right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Norm, let's rewind to earlier in the program. Race number four, you have a horse on the also eligible list, three-year-old, who only has one start under his belt. That is Mount Athos. For Monticule, Declan Carroll has the assignment today. If he draws in, tell me a little bit more about this particular three-year-old.
He's not going to draw in. I went ahead and scratched him. There's a race on February 3rd that we're going to aim for. If he drew in, it was just a terrible post position for him. So I didn't want to draw in. So we went ahead and did our diligence and we scratched him. I really like that horse. I think he's a horse that you can bet on next time when he runs on the third. He broke poorly last time. He made a few moves and he just flattened out the last eighth of a mile. But having a start under him and with a better break, I think he's a horse that could break his maiden, straight maiden, and then and go on and become a very useful horse. So Mount Athos is a horse we really look forward to running.
All right, race number seven, another maiden special weight. You send out, I hope I get the name right, Panica?
Panenka is how I say it, but
Panenka.
Apparently it's some sort of soccer move, and I'm not belittling soccer. I'm just not a fan of soccer, so I can't. You know, it's the world's number one sport, so it's not that I dislike it. I just don't follow it. So apparently it's a soccer move or a soccer kick or something like that. Panenka is how we say it.
All right, tell me about Panenka.
He's just a big, long horse with a really long stride. He's not overly fast, so that's why you see him starting 9 furlongs on the turf today. I think if we ran him on the dirt in a sprint race, he would get outrun early and get really discouraged. Post position is obviously not ideal, being drawn way outside, but I imagine he'll break slowly and he'll drop over and we'll just make one big run with him. It's more about just seeing him. He's an interesting horse because he always does what you ask him to do. So I feel like he could be a horse that surprises me in the afternoon once he's actually in a race and he's running against other horses.
Norm, we need to get some horses sent to you that have names like Drag Bunt, Hit and Run, right? We'll go more of a baseball theme for you so you can actually get a sense of the horse's name before
you
send them out.
But you know what? I think a lot of those are already taken. I always think, this is the first year, that I'm just completely concentrated on the fairgrounds. I didn't send any horses to Gulfstream this year. I felt like it was time to just consolidate the barn and go in one place. And I'll always remember the first time I came to the fairgrounds working for Dad, it must have been over a decade ago, the first horse I ever saddled to win a race at the fairgrounds was named Bases Loaded. And Jerry Huntsinger, who was the GM for the Astros at the time, owned him. And I'll never forget that filly. It was probably just an open claiming race, but I'll never forget just because of the name and the connections.
Well, I told you I wouldn't keep you long because I know it's a busy day for you, but I'll just give you this little reminder. 105 days, 8 hours, 54 minutes, and 57 seconds until the first Saturday in May. So keep the eye on the prize.
You don't have to remind me. I have a journal every day, and that's the first thing that's put on top of it. How many days we've got till the Derby. If we're in it or not, it's still a special day, and it's a day we all look forward to. I think we can all agree on that.
Hey, good luck today. Good luck over the coming months, and I'll catch up with you again soon. Appreciate the visit, Norm.
Thanks for having me on, Mike. Anytime.
All right. Norm Cassie here on HRRN. Yeah, just he's loaded today with all of his three-year-olds. You heard him say that one will scratch, but other than that, he is going to be a busy man later this afternoon at the fairgrounds and likely in the months to come. So my thanks to Norm for taking the time. That interview, like all of our interviews on the program, brought to you by Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion by visiting EmbraceTheRace.com. When I come back, it's your Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris, and then I'll get you set for a very busy second half of the show. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at tonysteaksandseafood.com.
Gainesway Stallion Taprit, a $1.2 million yearling at Saratoga. Taprit's victories include the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes.
And they're into the stretch. Irish War Cry turns for home with Taprit trying to run him down in the last furlong. The two of them are now a half length apart. They are clear of Gormley and Patch. It is Irish War Cry. And on the outside, Taprit. Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish War Cry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
In his first 2 years at stud, Taprit has bred over 240 mares. Now his first weanlings have arrived, selling for up to $100,000. One of the best bred sons of sire of sires, Taprit, to ever enter stud. Classic winner and stakes record setter, Taprit, standing at Gainesway.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick, and proud aunt. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing. But not every child gets to be carefree. One in six kids in the U.S. are hungry. One in six. That little girl sitting alone at the playground, she can't play like the other kids. She doesn't have the energy because she's hungry. School lunch will be her only meal today. It breaks my heart that this is the reality in our country, but it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste. This food is then provided to families and children in need. Being a kid should be about using your imagination, learning, and having fun. These children shouldn't have to miss out on simply being a kid because they're hungry. To find out how you can help end childhood hunger in your community, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is the Big A, Anthony Stabile, reminding you that Race Day on HRRN, presented by Twin Spires, comes your way every Wednesday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern. Bobby Newman joins me to bring you all of the fall and winter action from places like Aqueduct, Gulfstream, Santa Anita, Del Mar, and Churchill, as well as interviews with the biggest players in thoroughbred racing. That's Race Day on HRRN, presented by Twin Spires. Tune in on Sirius 219, XM 201, or stream it live at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, I'm Leah Jarmati, and I love listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Presented by HealthNetics CBD.
Running on from the backfield as they turn to the top of the stretches. Yeah, I know. Aiming at PH Factory, set some fast fractions. We'll see if those do him in as he turns on down. Three to the good. Triple Delight is on the move. And here comes Miracle Mountain from the back of the pack. The Chicago Invader has dead aim on the pace setter. And it's Miracle Mountain who's forging to the front. And Miracle Mountain is drawn away with each and every stride. Miracle Mountain is now a 7-time winner and wins by just about 4.5 in the end. Pace-setting PH Factor did hang on for second in 137-1.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by HealthNetics CBD. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, with you on this Saturday morning. Miracle Mountain, a recent claiming winner at Turfway Park, trained by our industry star of the week on this Saturday morning. Going to tell you more about that guest in just a minute, but first, this segment presented by Stuart Morris, and Stuart wants to remind you that he offers a boutique full-service bloodstock operation and wants to thank his owners, his clients, and his team. He knows his success is because of you, and with multiple stakes horses over the past several years that include Henley's Joy, Our Brain Trust, Malagasy, and South Bend, Stuart Morris is your source for success at the highest levels, and you can visit the Stuart Morris consignment at all of the major sales. Well, this past Wednesday, I had the chance to visit with trainer Brittany Vandenberg on our Trainer Talk Show, which is presented by Fasic Tipton. The entire interview is on our website now. You can go back and listen. It was so much fun. She has so much energy and passion for this sport, and she is off to a fantastic start to her training career. She's a former jockey, now training, doing it at a high level, and I thought it was appropriate that we make Brittany Vandenberg this week's industry star of the week. And she took time to look back on how this journey began for her.
I talked to my dad and I said, I'm looking at all these barrel horses and a lot of them are past race horses. I said, you know what? So let's try to get, you know, a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old and just kind of dip into this a little bit, you know, and kind of see where we're at. So my dad's like, okay, you know, I'm with you. If you want to try it, you know, whatever you want to try, we'll do. And I said, well, look, there's a sale coming up. I don't know if you know the Oklahoma Heritage Place sale, and it's for quarter horses,
sure.
Not thoroughbreds.
Sure.
But you know, we said if the horse doesn't work out as a racehorse, we'll turn it into a barrel horse and we'll sell it. So anyway, we flew in Oklahoma. We picked out a horse. We both looked at this horse, and I told my dad, I said, hey, this is the one. Let's pick this one. It's a nice, cheap horse. I mean, we didn't have a pile of money to spend on horses, so I think we bought her for like $2,300. I mean, something ridiculously cheap. And we brought her back home, and we knew she was a 2-year-old. She needed to grow a little bit. And we just started looking through the – and this is going to sound old-timey, but we were looking through the yellow pages of the phone book to try and find
sure.
a racehorse trainer. I can't even believe I'm saying that now. But we were trying to find a racehorse trainer. We said, who does this? So we were looking all over for it. We asked a couple people in barrel racing, and they referred me to this guy in Michigan. His name was Richard Rotelli. And we gave him a call, and he said, yeah, sure. He says, you know, I've never really had anyone just call me out of the clear blue and say, I have a racehorse, I've never watched racing, and will you take it on for me? But he said, that's fine. You know, it had really good breeding and everything. He says, I'll take it on. Well, what ended up happening was she ended up being really bad over there. And he said, you know what? He says, she's getting really bad, and they were kind of getting ready to quit her. And they said, does your daughter, you know, if she wants to come and ride her, you know, if she wanted to just give it a try or see if she could work with it, you know, would she want to come over and help? And I was like, yeah, sure. And my mom said, you know, you're small, Brittany. You could be the jockey of this horse. I mean, this is how green we were. We're just like, you know, you could ride this horse in a race. So anyway, I went over there. I had no galloping experience, nothing. Never seen a saddle, like a racing saddle, never seen nothing, an exercise saddle. And they threw me up on her, and I started working with her, and you know, we became really close, me and this horse. And I said, look, I really want to ride this horse in a race. And he told me, he says, well, you have to get your license, and he walked me through the whole process of how to do it. And they had starting gates at their farm. So he said, well, you know, come out of the starting gates one time on her and see how you feel. And like I said, I really didn't have much guidance. They kind of showed me what to do and where to put my hands and everything. And then they said, okay, the bell's going to ring and you're going to come out of the gate. So, you know, hold on. Here's where you hold on. So I remember the first time I did it, I lost my stirrup, but I quickly got it, and I was good. Well, I think it was I had maybe one more time to practice it, and then they said, well, look, there's a race for your horse in Michigan coming up. Do you want to go down there in front of this guy we know and see if you can get your license, break out of the gate with some other guy and get your license, and then you can ride her? So anyway, long story short, I ended up getting my license. I broke out of the gate, and I went into my first race on my own horse, which was very special for me. And, I mean, I was extremely nervous. I had never, you know, done anything like this. I was, like, you know, completely green. I had no idea how the races were ran or anything. And they threw me on this horse, and we were in the one hole, and we ran a 90 speed figure, which is a really high speed index for a quarter horse. And we won our first race. And
wow.
I remember not knowing if I won or not, and I didn't know where to go even if I did win. So when I pulled up, I turned around and I went back to the barn. I didn't know where to go. I didn't go back to the winner's circle. I had no idea. I said, well, is this the way back to the barn? And the outrider's like, no, dear, you got to go to the win circle. You won. The horse goes back here. So anyway, I was crying. It was unbelievable. And that's kind of what got me hooked into horse racing. So.
Yeah, just one of many fantastic stories told by our industry star of the week, Brittany Vandenberg, on Trainer Talk earlier this week. Head over to our website. Listen to the full one-hour interview. She was tremendous. She's grew up in Ontario and was a high school football star. She was the running back on her high school football team. She was so good that she actually made an all-star team that came to the United States and played against other teams in Heinz Field in Pittsburgh. Pretty cool stuff. She is a great story, and she's gone now from not knowing where the winner circle was after she rode her first winner to now saddling 47 winners. She rode 80 winners as a jockey. Brittany Vandenberg, our industry star of the week, presented by Stuart Morris. Hour two comes up next. It kicks off with Natalie Voss from the Pollock Report talking about her two Eclipse Award-winning features, which pertain to Thoroughbred Aftercare, plus John Dooley, who comes up at 9:40 Eastern, the announcer at Fairgrounds, and sandwiched in between all of that, a massive, massive announcement pertaining to the Horse Racing Radio Network. It's all ahead. Hour two kicks off next, right after I pause. 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is California Chrome in front, and from the back of the pack on the outside, Commanding Curve is taken second, but California Chrome shines bright in the Kentucky Derby!
Into the final furlong, there will be a fourth jewel in the crown. He's an everlasting credit to the sport. American Pharoah has belted a grand slam in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by HealthNetics CBD.
It's War of Will, who's taking charge in this final fairgrounds. Fair one for Tyler Gaffalione. Pull clear from Manny Waugh. Hot Creek Custle is staying on. Who's Cooper Bay between horses. They're close to home. It's War of Will. Runs out impressively in the LeCompte, 1-4.
And Baffert, 1-2 in the juvenile fillies. At the 16th pole, it is Silver Bullet Day. Excellent meeting. The final surge as they come to line. Here's the wire. The Philly champion is Silver Bullet Day.
Now, here's Mike Penna.
Oh, that race call just kind of rips my heart out. I was a huge, I had a crush on Excellent Meeting. Still, she's my all-time favorite filly. Of course, no longer with us, but man, Silver Bullet Day just took it to her that day. And what a performance. We honor Silver Bullet Day this afternoon at the fairgrounds with the Silver Bullet Day Stakes for the three-year-old fillies making their way down the road to what this year will be the final Friday in April and the Kentucky Oaks. Silver Bullet Day, the Hall of Famer. She was inducted in 2009, won 15 of 23 starts, more than $3 million in purse earnings. That number would have been higher with today's economics, but just so, so good. A two-time champion, champion two-year-old filly, champion three-year-old filly, and she was as special as it comes. But that day when she took it to my excellent meeting was a little tough for me to take, but I had to play that for you on a day when we remember the great Silver Bullet Day. Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum presented by HealthNetics CBD. Threw out a poll question for you, by the way, at the top of the show. Which trainer will saddle the winner of the LeCompte at Fairgrounds today? Rather than horses, let's talk about the trainers. And so far, I gave you three choices plus an other category. Brad Cox, Steve Asmussen, Mike Stidham, or other. And if you choose other, please specify. 60% of the vote saying it's all about Brad Cox. And he has the morning line favorite in there, and it's hard to think that, you know, he wouldn't. Well, it's not hard to think he wouldn't win that race because it's pretty competitive. But Brad Cox, certainly the leader in the clubhouse, and 60% of HRN Nation saying it's him. A couple of votes for those of you who chose other, both coming in for Keith DeSormo. I can see that. Some live runners in there. And you heard Norm Cassie in the first half of the show talk about the fact that maybe the allowance race that he's running in earlier in the day equally as competitive, if not even more so, than the LeCompte. Head back to our website if you missed any portion of the show, horseracingradio.net. You can check out the podcast of this show and all of our shows, horseracingradio.net and Horse Racing Radio Network on Apple Podcasts. And by the way, keep those responses coming to our poll question at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. You can also email the show, mike@horseracingradio.net. Well, I told you that the second half of the program was going to kick off in a very special way. Natalie Voss, who is the editor-in-chief of the Pollock Report, won her second and third Eclipse Awards this year, becoming the first individual to win two writing award categories in the same year since the late Bill Knack, who pulled off the feat in 1991. Both winning pieces pertain to thoroughbred aftercare, an issue very much on the minds of many these days and something Natalie is extremely passionate about. And Natalie is with me now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Natalie, good morning and congratulations.
Good morning. Thank you, Mike. I still can hardly believe that it's happened.
Yeah, you had a quote in an article that was published afterwards on the Pollock Report, and your quote was, "I never could have imagined this happening in my wildest dreams. It is a tremendous honor to just win one award, but to win two in one year is unfathomable." And I thought that was a great word to use because it truly is. What was it about these two pieces you feel resonated with the judges?
Well, I think, you know, there's in the two writing categories, there's one category for features and there's one for news or enterprise reporting. And I think in this case of the feature story, it was just a compelling, improbable sort of story. And I don't mean that as a reflection on my own writing, but the events that took place, reuniting a exercise rider with her favorite horse that she had broke as a yearling and ridden as a two-year-old. He'd sort of gotten lost to the ether and she had found him again, thanks to the actions of other people in his life that she didn't even know before. So I tend to think that was probably just such an incredible sequence of events that I would imagine that stood out well with the judges. And in the other category, the winning entry was a three-part series on aftercare. And I like to think that was a pretty dense subject that I think I dissected as well as I could. And that tends to sort of do well in the enterprise category if you can make sense of something and find solutions, potential solutions, and I think that tends to go well. So I think that might have been what appealed to them.
You know, people will read these pieces and they will think, okay, well, Natalie's a great writer and she just has a way with words and she just puts these things together and puts them out there on Pollock Report and all of a sudden they're winning awards. Natalie, it's not that easy. I know from putting together our race broadcast that you spend far more time, far more effort and research and all of those types of things before you even go on air. The on-air part is the easy part for us. And I would imagine the writing part is the easy part for you. Talk about the preparation that goes into putting pieces like this together.
Yeah, so, you know, particularly for investigative reporting, which is most of what I do, and I would put the aftercare series in that category, it's a lot of talking to people, digging up whatever kinds of records or statistics that you can find ahead of talking to people. Usually the people you talk to will point you towards some resources. You'll have to go back to the drawing board research-wise. And then the writing process for anything complicated is a multi-draft process. The organization really of both Eclipse Award pieces this year was a challenge because there was a lot of information packed into each one, and there was a lot of sort of timelines that had to be sorted out in the case of the feature category. So it's a lot of back and forth with our publisher, Ray Pollack. My husband, Joe Nevels, who's our Bloodstock editor, is also a really good person to bounce a story off of. So there's kind of multiple drafts in that process. And then, you know, Ray is really careful about the fact-checking process in addition to my own fact-checking of myself as much as I can do it. And we go back and forth on a lot of things. And, you know, this statistic or this piece of information is not going to make it in unless we're absolutely sure about it. And so it's weeks of research, and then it's usually several days back and forth once you have the first draft to try to get it where it needs to be before it publishes. So, yeah, it's a little duck-like, you know. There's the thing you see, and there's all the work going on underneath the surface that makes it happen.
I mentioned earlier that aftercare is a subject that is near and dear to so many people's hearts in our industry, and it's something that when people start getting involved with aftercare, even if they haven't been prior, it becomes a passion and it becomes all-consuming. So why, Natalie, is aftercare so important to you?
Well, I really came to horse racing because I loved horses, which sounds a little simplistic, but I think that, you know, some people come to it for, you know, the friends and family kind of atmosphere or aspect, and then some people really get into the wagering side, and then you end up loving the other pieces of the sport, but the thing that started you is usually the thing that you stay sort of most true to throughout your time interacting with the sport, and for me it was always the horse itself. And so, of course, you know, that created a great deal of care for me as to what happens to them when they leave the track, but it was also, you know, kind of an appealing aspect because that was how I could get close to a racehorse when I was first starting in the industry. You could work with retired racehorses, and you could learn kind of with them when you may not be prepared to go to a racetrack and get a job, you know, on the backstretch. So a way to get close to them, a way to get other people close to them and get them to understand the magic of a horse, because I think that that's a good thing for our industry too, is to help other people fall in love with the animal, because that really is the start of everything for us as a sport.
What did you learn in putting these two pieces together that maybe surprised you, that something that you weren't necessarily expecting to learn? Maybe it caught you off guard a little bit.
Well, I think in the case of the feature story, it was sort of surprising from the beginning just to hear the improbability of the sequence of events that led to a really good ending. Because a lot of times, because I do investigative reporting, people are coming to me when the story has not turned out well. And so hearing the dedication of the people involved in the horse's life and that they were successful in putting him in the best possible place that he could be upon retirement was really not necessarily a new thing to have learned, but a really refreshing perspective for me, because it's something that a lot of people want to have happen for the horse in their life, but it doesn't happen as often as it should. In the case of the three-part series, I think that the biggest takeaway for me was just, you know, the volume of horses that we have retiring every year, or that we think we have retiring every year. We don't track them as well as we could or should, but it would seem, if you sort of translate numbers from an Australian study to the U.S. population, we probably have about 18,000 horses leaving the track each year. And some of those will go to breeding. We think probably about a third of retiring horses go to breeding. But, I mean, the number of remaining horses, even after you take that out of the equation, is bigger than I would have thought it was. I knew that it was a big challenge to find places for all these horses to go, but I don't think that I realized the scope of the problem before I started diving in on this. And that's pretty sobering.
Talking with three-time Eclipse Award winner Natalie Voss here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Natalie, kind of playing off of what you just said, what is our industry doing well when it comes to aftercare, and what can it do better?
So I think that we've come a really long way in the last 10 years in particular. We created the infrastructure of the TAA, which accredits nonprofit facilities that retrain and adopt and retire horses. And that is fantastic. That was something that was much needed. And, you know, as time goes on, it just continues to be obvious how important it is to have an accreditation mechanism. And I think that the Retired Racehorse Project, the Thoroughbred Makeover, the Thoroughbred Incentive Program from the Jockey Club are all really, really good advances towards getting riding horse people, sport horse people like myself. I'm an amateur rider, but getting amateur riders and professional riders in other disciplines to think about thoroughbreds as being an option for them. I think that those efforts are going really, really well and have made an enormous difference. I think that there may be a tendency, and the reason that I wanted to write the series was we see a lot of buzz about those programs and we think, oh, okay, we've got this problem solved, like we're good. But in reality, the funding has not grown for the TAA. The TAA was originally meant to be a funding mechanism as well as an accreditation mechanism. And, you know, they still distribute a large amount of money each year, but the number of facilities they're accrediting is growing faster than their budget. And that's reflective of how I think, in general, giving to aftercare has not grown as the infrastructure has grown. And that's a bit of a problem. Then you also have, I think I touched off in the piece, there's still an issue with the slaughter pipeline. And we're not doing very much at all to address that, really. So that, you know, that could come back to bite us from a public relations perspective at some point. So we're definitely doing really well in some ways, but we shouldn't get complacent and assume that the whole thing is solved now.
Natalie Voss, editor-in-chief of the Pollock Report. Again, two Eclipse Awards, which she will be receiving on January 28th this year. They are her second and third. It's a feat that has only been pulled off one other time by the late Bill Knack in 1991. And Natalie, that's unbelievable company, and I know that you have to be very proud, and you should be very proud. Where can people go read these two pieces?
Well, I think if you find the announcement on the Pollock Report about the two writing awards, we've got links in there to the winning entries. That's probably the easiest way to find them.
All right, well, there you have it. Natalie, listen, appreciate the visit. Congratulations again. Well-deserved. Enjoy that special night on January 28th. Are you going to be able to be at Spendthrift, or is this all going to be done virtually?
I'm not sure how they're doing it for the winners that are announced the night of, but my part will just be done virtually. They'll have a little video package they'll play, and I'll be able to watch it from home in my pajamas, which is just fine with me.
Yeah, perfect. Well, listen, appreciate the visit this morning, and all the best moving forward. Keep up the wonderful work, Natalie, and appreciate you being here with me.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Mike.
All right, Natalie Voss, Thoroughbred Aftercare. Again, head back to the Pollock Report, search for her Eclipse Award-winning entries, and they'll pull up. The first one, An Angel on His Shoulder. This Thoroughbred's Fate was written in ink. And you'll like that one. And then the News and Enterprising Writing three-part series. You can go to Pollock Report and learn more about that. But fantastic stuff from Natalie Voss. That interview, as all of our interviews are, brought to you by Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love, embrace your passion, and all you have to do is go to embracetherace.com to do it. And I tell you all the time that if you're looking for that perfect racing gift for the racing fan, there's no better than Embrace the Race. EmbraceTheRace.com, quality products, and it speaks to who we are as racing fans. Not just a fan of one horse, not just a fan of one jockey or of one trainer. We are a fan of the sport, and that is where Mike D'Anzaris and his entire concept has evolved, and it's spectacular. EmbraceTheRace.com, the place to go. All right, going to get to another break. When I come back, it is time for today's First Bet, presented by First Bet, to get you ready to make a wager at the races later today. And then a massive, massive historic announcement that you won't want to miss. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by HealthNetics CBD. For amazing relief of everyday aches and pains, try HealthNetics premium brand CBD.
Broken valve. a top 15 lifetime active sire with over 170 black type horses, 90 black type winners, and approaching $80 million in progeny earnings. In 2020, Broken Vow produced Saratoga Springs winner Stan the Man and the Speedy M. Primus, winner of the $700,000 turf sprint. Juvenile stakes horses include The Grass is Blue and Chasing Kara. Give your mare a great start with a proven sire. Broken Vow, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Undefeated Grade 1 winner Mastery was a multiple graded stakes winner at 2, including this victory in the Los Alamitos Cash Call Futurity. At 3, he sizzled in the San Felipe Stakes. Now his progeny are bringing top dollar in the sales ring.
$450,000.
Internet buys $510,000. Thank you.
An exciting young stallion, Mastery, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Caddo River ran them off their feet, and Cruz is under the wire, is going to win by 9 lengths in the end.
Caddo River, the now 3-year-old son of Darley stallion Hard Spun, dominated his rivals in that maiden win as a 2-year-old in November. His official margin of victory, 9.5 lengths, and he is now set to make his 2021 debut in the Smarty Jones at Oaklawn January 22nd. Caddo River is your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Hard Spun is Danzig's last Grade 1 winning son, who sired more first crop stakes winners than any other stallion before him. And no stallion under $175,000 can top Hard Spun's 11 3-year-old graded stakes horses over the past two seasons. Learn more about Hard Spun and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
Hello, I'm Junior Alvarado, and I listen to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by HealthNetics CBD.
War Emblem is the leader as the field turns for home. Proud Citizen still hanging in there with the fighting chance. Perfect Trip is down toward the inside. Came Home is putting in his run. Now he's about 4 lengths from the lead. Harmon's Holly is picking it up. Here comes Medallia Doro, who's there on the far outside. 1 furlong to go. War Emblem is still there. War Emblem, and he's pulling away. He's got another gear. War Emblem coming down to the final 16th. Now he's in front by 3, and now he's going to win it. War Emblem has won the Derby in front-running fashion. A beautiful ride there by Victor Espinosa. Proud Citizen finishing second, followed by Perfect Trip, then farther back Medallia Doro. So it is War Emblem to win the Kentucky Derby, trained by the ebullient Bob Dafford and owned by a Saudi Arabian prince.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by HealthNetics CBD. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, with you on this Saturday morning. That was Tom Durkin with the call of the 2002 Run for the Roses, War Emblem with that powerhouse victory. And War Emblem, believe it or not, the only horse to win the Kentucky Derby after competing in the LeCompte Stakes at the fairgrounds. And I say competing in the LeCompte, because he was fifth in the LeCompte that day and then went on to win the Derby. He's the only horse ever to run in that race and then win the Kentucky Derby. I'm going to talk with Fairgrounds announcer John G. Dooley coming up at 9:40 Eastern time, and he'll preview the LeCompte. He'll preview all of the other big stakes races on the program today. It's a great day in New Orleans. Poll question today, so many of you continuing to win. Which trainer saddled the winner today's LeCompte Stakes at the fairgrounds? Brad Cox, Steve Asmussen, Mike Stidham, or other? And right now, Brad Cox continues to be the front runner, 56% saying it's all about Brad Cox in today's LeCompte. So should be interesting to see if Mandaloon can get to the winner's circle in there and if HRN Nation is indeed correct. Well, for the past couple of weeks, you've been hearing me talk about HealthNetics and the premium brand CBD company. And many of you have probably heard that term, but you're not exactly sure which CBD companies to trust or what CBD even is. So I'm going to clear it up for you just a little bit. Healthnetics and all of their products are all natural. They're THC-free, and they're made right here in the USA. And they're focused on quality and purity. All of their products undergo rigorous lab testing, and those results are posted directly on the packaging. So if you have a few aches and pains or some sleepless nights, some anxiety, stress issues, whatever it might be, give Healthnetics a try. And with their 100% money-back guarantee, you really do have nothing to lose. And I'll make it even better for you. If you go to healthnetics.com to place your order and you use promo code HRRN to let them know that you are a member of HRN Nation, you're going to get 15% off plus free shipping. So do it today. Go to healthnetics.com and take advantage of that unbelievable offer and the fantastic products at Healthnetics. Well, that big announcement coming up in just moments. But first, it's time for our new weekly segment here on the Equine Forum. It's brought to you by our friends at First Bet.
And now, today's First Bet.
Well, today's first bet comes from race 11 at Gulfstream Park, the Sunshine Turf Stakes, which is set to be run at 4:50 Eastern. Number 3, Monforte, is 9-2 on the morning line. And Monforte has a 29% first bet win projection. He rates 9 points higher than the next closest win container, and he win contender, and he ranks in the top 4 in 6 of the 7 most important first bet factors for this race. He's a winner of 6 of his last 8 races, and with a 5-for-8 record on the Gulfstream Park turf, that bodes well for his chances as well. He changes from one Hall of Fame rider to another, Monforte going from Edgar Prado to Hall of Famer Johnny V. So he is today's first bet. It's number 3, Monforte, in race 11 at Gulfstream Park. I'll be back right after this word from First Bet.
Have you heard about the new handicapping and betting app that is sweeping the nation? It's called First Bet, and it puts the power of AI-assisted handicapping, seamless wagering, and live HD video in the palm of your hand. Thousands of bettors have already made First Bet their way to handicap, bet, and watch more than 300 of the world's top tracks. Isn't it time for you to join them? And when you give First Bet a try today, you can cash in on a huge welcome bonus. Sign up with promo code SPORTOFKINGS, all one word, and you will get $10 just for joining, as well as a 10% rebate, up to $500 for your first 30 days. With that much free cash on the line, what do you have to lose? Get started at first.com/bet. That's number 1, st.com/bet. And don't forget promo code SPORTOFKINGS when you sign up. And if you already have an ExpressBet account, you're way ahead of the game. Simply log into FirstBet using your username and password, and you're off to the races.
Up to 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with FirstBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
All right, well, I told you that I had a big announcement today, and I told you it's huge, it's massive, whatever word you want to, groundbreaking, historic, any word that you want to use to describe it, I think you're going to agree. And it is now time, finally, for the big announcement.
Are you ready for some awesome news?
Well, you better be. So many of you used to hearing me do countdowns here on the program. I've done them for years. Countdown to the Kentucky Derby. Countdown to the Breeders' Cup. I'm going to give you one more. In just 13 days, 22 hours, and 33 minutes, this show, the Equine Forum, the show that launched a network, is stretching out in distance. Yeah, you heard me. We will be expanding the Equine Forum to 3 hours. The new format will begin Saturday, January 30th, and we'll take the show from our current 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern window to 8 to 11 a.m. More of the show you love. How about that? This new 3-hour format is going to allow me to bring you a variety of new segments, shining the light on even more aspects of our sport than I currently do now. There are so many things over the years that I have wanted to do. All of these ideas circulate in your head, but you need more time. So we're doing it, expanding to 3 hours starting Saturday, January 30th. I debuted one of the new segments last week. And you can catch, by the way, a brand new edition next Saturday. It's called Unsung Heroes, presented by Claiborne. Just one of the many new and innovative things I think you're going to love about the expanded Equine Forum format. And for those of you who don't know the history of this show, there's a reason that we call the Equine Forum the show that launched a network. It actually, believe it or not, predates me and my 18 years on radio, and it does that in a couple of different ways. In April of 2003, I was working in Horse ID at Keeneland. I met a gentleman by the name of Pete Coolis, who was doing a show at Keeneland in the racing office every morning during the meet. And I wanted to advertise on the show. He said, no. What do you think of this? I'm looking for a co-host to sit down next to me on my programs here in Lexington. What do you think? I had never been on radio in my life. I was scared to death. I was shaking like a leaf. At that time, this was a one-hour show. There were no commercial breaks. Pete would read every single commercial live. Well, we did that together for a few months, and I asked Pete what he would think of the idea of expanding the show to 2 hours and mixing in recorded commercial breaks like you hear today. So we made the move, and it just took off from there. And I'm very proud of the fact that over the years, I have been able to develop relationships which, quite frankly, I never thought possible. Owners, trainers, breeders, jockeys, handicappers, celebrities, racetrack officials, all with one common interest, a love for the sport of thoroughbred racing. And all of those relationships, every single one of them, have only been possible because of a Saturday morning talk show that started on a lone AM station here in Lexington, Kentucky, and has now expanded to the Louisville market every Saturday on ESPN 680. And thanks to our wonderful friends at SiriusXM, this show is now heard each week throughout North America on Sirius 219 and XM 201. And it has been every Saturday morning since 2011. You know, there was no internet streaming or podcast associated with the show 18 years ago. Now, listeners in 147 countries make HRN their home for racing talk throughout the entire year. Thanks to all of those distribution channels, especially the streaming, especially the podcast. So many of you tune in. When you can't listen to it live, you tune in afterwards, and I can't thank you enough. I also want to say a special thank you to every single sponsor who has ever said, yes, I will support you, and we will be a sponsor of the Equine Forum. And there have been so many people who have played a significant role, whether you've run one or two commercials or you've continued to run for all 18 years that I've been involved. And there are plenty of people who have. And you continue to play a significant role in building this show and taking it to new heights moving forward. And I am forever thankful to each and every sponsor. I'm also thankful to every guest who has ever appeared on this program. And to Pete Coolis, who saw something in me 18 years ago and gave me the opportunity to grow as a radio host. And to my good friend Jude Feld, who sat next to me as my co-host on this show for so many years. Love you, brother. Really appreciate it. An integral part of making this show a success. And so many people that have helped make this show what it is, including every single one of you who tune in each and every week, not only to this show, but all of our shows throughout the year. We get so many wonderful emails and texts and social media messages that, quite frankly, are very humbling and are a big reason that I want to do more. I want to give back more to the sport than we're doing now with the two-hour format. And this three-hour format, starting Saturday, January 30th, is going to allow me to do that. You'll hear more features like Unsung Heroes presented by Claiborne. I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag on everything that we're thinking of right now, but there are some massive things coming your way as we expand this show. It's going to allow us to bring on more horsemen. It's going to allow us to bring on more industry professionals, more handicappers, cover more storylines, take you inside the world of thoroughbred racing like never before. And I am so thankful for each and every one of our listeners across HRN Nation who have made this show possible for more than 20 years, really. again, I started 18 years ago. Pete was doing the show long before I came on board. This show predates me. And now we get to go to even greater heights and highlight this sport in new, fresh, innovative ways, which we have never done before. So just to recap, if you missed the beginning of this announcement, the Equine Forum, the show that launched a network, stretching out in distance, expanding to 3 hours, starting Saturday, January 30th, you will now be able to tune in from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern. And that is the big news of the day here on HRRN. Yeah, let's do it. I'm going to get to another break. I'll come back and welcome in John Dooley, the announcer at Fairgrounds, right after this on the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Healthnetics CBD. For amazing relief of everyday aches and pains, try Healthnetics premium brand CBD.
Adena Spring Stallion Mucho Macho Man. Tough, sound, durable. A stakes winner at 3, 4, 5, and 6 who competed in all three Triple Crown races before turning 3 years old and capped a stellar career with a determined victory in the Breeders' Cup Classic over champions Will Take Charge and Declaration of War.
Mucho Macho Man has the lead close to home. Mucho Macho Man, Declaration of War, Will Take Charge of Final Man, Mucho Macho Man! He did it over Will Take Charge!
Mucho Macho Man has produced two first crop grade one winners, one on dirt.
Mucho Gusto in the Pegasus World Cup! He won it by 5 lengths!
And one on turf.
And the California bred, Mucho Unusual, all the way in the Rodeo Drive.
The number one North American sire by 2020 average earnings per runner is Mucho Macho Man, standing at Adena Springs.
Championship Meet is back at Gulfstream Park now through March 28th with live racing Wednesday through Sunday. Thoroughbred stakes action continues with the Grade 1 $3 million Pegasus World Cup on January 23rd, the Grade 3 Holy Bull January 30th, and much more. Stay in the action from your mobile phone with the First Bet, the official app of Gulfstream Park. On-site viewing is still closed to the public, but you can watch the racing action and get more information at GulfstreamPark.com.
Pin Oaks Duds Alternation ranks highly among Kentucky's fourth crop sires by percentage of black type winners from runners. With nearly $5.5 million in earnings to date, Alternation was represented by five black type horses in 2020. His brilliant Kentucky Oaks winner, Serengeti Empress, won the Grade 1 Ballerina at Saratoga and was runner-up in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. First or second in six Grade 1 events, Serengeti Empress amassed over $2.1 million. Alternation stands at Pin Oak Stud.
Justify, a four-time Grade 1 winner, Eclipse Champion 3-year-old, Horse of the Year, and the only undefeated Triple Crown winner. By Sire of Sires, Scat Daddy, Justify's first foals sold for up to $600,000 at the recent November sales, while his in-foal mares were led by the three-time Grade 1 winning daughter of Uncle Mo, Bast, who sold for $4.2 million to Spendthrift Farm. Justify has covered over 80 Grade 1 winners or dams of Grade 1 winners in his first 2 years at Ashford. Call the team at Ashford today to book your mare while there are still seasons available.
I'm Manny Franco, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by Healthnetics CBD.
Two furlongs to go. Blackberry Road has 7 lengths to find. And Star Defender never challenged. They're into this ranch. Three quarters, 1, 12, and 4. This is the final furlong. Z Fortune between horses. Mad Flatter just strikes the top. Under pressure, the Darp and He's Easy battles on. Front outside, Blackberry Road being produced. Final 16th, Z Fortune led. Blackberry Road on the outside. Z Fortune on to 3 in a row. Z Fortune, Sean Bridgerhand for a Steve Asmussen stakes triple. Blackberry Road second, photo for third between He's Easy, Mad Flatter, and the Darp Weekend.
That's John G. Dooley with the call of the LeCompte Stakes back in 2002. A win for Steve Asmussen, as you just heard. Z Fortune under Sean Bridgerhand and Zayat Stables, the owners. That gave Steve a second victory in the LeCompte. His first coming back in 2000. Well, his first was in 2002 with Easy from the get-go. Excuse me. That second one you just heard, Z Fortune, coming in 2008. And joining me now is John Dooley, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, live from the fairgrounds. John, appreciate it, my friend.
Good morning from sunny New Orleans. That sounded like a younger John Dooley, and now Steve Asmussen with 100 career Fairground Stakes wins. So that was a few years ago.
You know, you're like a fine wine, though, John. It just continues to improve and get better and better.
I appreciate that. And good news for handicappers. We're fast and firm here on Road to the Derby kickoff day.
What is the best thing or the thing you enjoy most about calling races at the fairgrounds?
Well, I mean, there's so much history. I mean, 149 thoroughbred season here, the great city of New Orleans. And, you know, I love sports, good food. This is a festive, fun town, and you get the history that the fairgrounds brings. And on days like this with the LeCompte, and, of course, leading into the Risen Star $1 million Louisiana Derby in March. It's a terrific season. Spend the winter, although we're in the 50s here today, but, you know, sunny skies and when you're fast and firm. But just the tradition that, you know, racing in New Orleans has been going on for 149 thoroughbred seasons. And to be a part of that, it's a real thrill for me.
What was the first year you called at Fairgrounds?
Actually, it was 2004 and 2005, and then the following year, Hurricane Katrina struck. So we lost the race meeting here, but I was able to go to Harrah's Louisiana Downs. They were very kind to us at the fairgrounds, and they hosted the race meet that year. Lawyer Ron, we didn't run the whole three-year-old series, but Lawyer Ron winning the stake there, it was the LeCompte. And then we didn't really run the Louisiana Derby after Hurricane Katrina, but they were gracious hosts to us after Hurricane Katrina. And then being part of the rebirth here in New Orleans, and I'll never forget that first race when we came back, you know, just thankful to be racing back in New Orleans. The fans turned out en masse, the great New Orleans fans. We look forward to having them back, you know, with us in the future, given all that's going on now in the world. But we're welcoming owners back to the races, and we hope to have our fans back. But that year after Katrina, that was an amazing year, the rebirth of New Orleans, and was very happy to be a part of that, and still here now all the years later.
There have been some big names that have come through the LeCompte over the years. I was shocked, John, as I was doing some research for the program this morning, to learn that only one horse has ever competed in the LeCompte and then gone on and won the Kentucky Derby later in the year, and that was War Emblem in 2002. But there have been so many big names that have come through this race, and you have to think that it's just a matter of time, and we're going to rattle off a stretch of race of years where we're going to have a LeCompte winner come out and win the Kentucky Derby again.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. You know, it's the road, you know, to the Derby, of course, is, say, leading into the Risen Star and to the TwinSpires.com $1 million Louisiana Derby in March. So, you know, it's a road, and the three-year-olds, sophomores, you know, they make that progression. Sometimes we see some nice, today we have some real nice maiden races on the undercard. We like to have those, and, you know, we've often seen the juveniles race here, and then maybe they pass the LeCompte or newly turned sophomores, and maybe they run in the Risen Star. I remember when Pyro won the Risen Star, his name was bantered about as one of the top Kentucky Derby prospects, and sometimes, of course, it doesn't work out to get the win, you know, on the first Saturday in May, but just to, you know, like the progression with the LeCompte to the Risen Star, you know, into the Louisiana Derby, and then we've seen the fillies, you know, the Silver Bullet Day to the Rachel, the Grade Two, and then the Fairgrounds Oaks. And how many fillies have used the New Orleans, you know, road to the run for the Lilies at Churchill Downs?
Yeah, great point. And when I mentioned some of those names that have won the LeCompte or even come through the race, you look at some of the winners. In 2007, you had Hard Spun. 2009, Frisian Fire. Mm-hmm. 2010, Ron the Greek. Oxbow in 2013. War of Will in 2019.
Yeah,
these
wow.
are names of classic winners and horses that have had such an impact on the sport over the past 13 years or so. And it's that type of race. When you look at this year's renewal, John, who are some of the horses that really do stand out to you?
Well, I mean, obviously, when you talk about a four-time leading trainer, I mean, Brad Cox, Fulon Giroux, riding lights out. He was 15 for 30, Fulon Giroux, going into yesterday's card. He added a couple more winners. You know, Mandaloon, everyone's been talking about this horse, you know, two for two, you know, winning on debut, Keeneland, October, and then under the Twin Spires, and, of course, so many in racing mourning the loss of Prince Khalid Abdullah, you know, Judmont Farms, the green and pink sash for Mandaloon. So everyone down here talking about that horse. Locally, we've seen Proxy. He's a two for two over the track, maybe 6-1 on the morning line, but, you know, a lot of eyes here on Mandaloon. You know, I like Midnight Bourbon, too. I mean, Steve Asmussen, you know, I mentioned at the top 100 career, you know, fairgrounds stakes victories. And Ricardo Santana Jr., he's getting closer to 1,500 career wins. Ricardo Santana starts the day with 1,492 career wins. He rides Arca Dust in the Duncan F. Kennerer First Stakes. So, I mean, I love the connections, you know, with Midnight Bourbon, you know, first run since the Champagne. But I think he's one that a lot of eyes are going to be on.
Yeah, Midnight Bourbon has certainly run some big races in his time, and he needs to show up and run a big one today. But, of course, this is just, as you alluded to, John, the first step along that road to the Kentucky Derby. So if a horse like Mandaloon or Midnight Bourbon would come up short today, these trainers are just looking for a good effort to let them know that their horses are moving in the right direction.
Yeah, exactly. And then, as I said, you know, we have some of these maiden three-year-old races, you know, going around two turns, and we see some of those horses that, you know, are impressive enough to connections to want to consider the Risen Star Stakes. And, of course, when you're, you know, Brad Cox, a four-time, four training titles in a row here, he certainly has a lot of options. You know, have that spring at Oaklawn Park. I mean, Florent Giroux, I mean, his top jockey here, he's only you know, about two or three wins behind Mitchell Merle, who tops the leaderboard. So I thought, you know, by the end of the day, Florent could be the leading jockey here. And then I think the first time in history, switched tack to Oaklawn Park. So it goes to show you how loaded Flo has been. Great job by his agent, Doug Bradar, to get him on so many winners this meet with an eye on the Oaklawn Park season, too.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up the allowance races. I in some of the maiden races that we're going to see early in the card at the fairgrounds today, because I had a chance to visit with Norm Cassie in the first half of the show. He cross-entered Beep Beep with into the Lecompte in the allowance race earlier. He will opt for the allowance race, and he explained that decision earlier in the program. Beep Beep's very talented. You also have another talented three-year-old in the Lecompte, and that's Proxy, a horse that you know very well because you got to call him in each of his last two efforts, both of those being wins for trainer Mike Stidham and owners Godolphin.
Yeah, Mike Stidham, actually the last leading trainer here at the fairgrounds, not named Brad Cox, is Mike Stidham. So that goes back a few seasons ago, five seasons ago, and Mike has Proxy for Godolphin. They top the owner board. Lead wins here at the meet for the Royal Blue of Sheikh Mohammed's Godolphin. So Proxy, I mean, he's looked good. Angel Suarez has been riding him, but Angel was injured in a spill here at the fairgrounds, if fans haven't been following since the start of the meet on Thanksgiving Day. But Mike going to one of his go-tos, our leading jockey, you know, Mitchell Morrow. And, you know, he's getting the big test today. But, you know, Mandaloon has yet to run at a stake, so they have for themselves to see who gets the first black type win in the Grade 3 Lecompte Stakes. So, you know, I mean, I'm really looking forward to the matchup, you know, 5:49 Central. It's just about under the lights here at the fairgrounds. But as I said, at least we're sunny skies, 50s, and fast and firm. So, you know, really looking forward to the card. And, of course, it's road to the Derby kickoff day. But I mentioned the run for the Lilies, you know, the Kentucky Oaks. I think this year's Kentucky Oaks, the path might go through the Silver Bullet Day, Sun Path, talking about Brad Cox's filly there, and really looking forward to seeing her in the 12th, and that's the Silver Bullet Day with the John Farm Sun Path.
Visiting with John G. Dooley, the announcer at Fairgrounds, and does a fantastic job. And, John, you are such a pro. You led me right into that Silver Bullet Day. That's exactly where I was going next. It's the race preceding the Lecompte. And you mentioned Sun Path, a very, very talented three-year-old filly.
Yeah, I mean, this Munnings filly out of a Tappet mare. I mean, she just absolute, you know, powerhouse performance, you know, through the daunting fairground stretch last time out. And Florent Giroux, again, riding for Brad Cox, who tops the, you know, four-time leading trainer here. But she was just so, so impressive last time out. She's won two in a row. She won under the Twin Spires at Churchill in November. And really, I mean, she's absolutely the filly to beat. But, you know, Declan Terrell, a lot of Mark Cassie's crew, like Super Sensational. She is 2-for-2 up at Woodbine. She's making her first start of 2021 in the Silver Bullet Day Stakes. And Declan, of course, his father, is the assistant trainer for Mark Cassie down here. So, you know, the family connection there, David Carroll, Declan Carroll. And I've known David for so many years. When I first started, was coming up the ranks in the media department with the New York Racing Association. His father, David, was working with the Shug and all those Phipps horses, like New York's easygoer back in the day. So two young racing people. David was on the shed row. I was getting notes, and here we are down in New Orleans, and he's the assistant to Mark Cassie with Super Sensational. So I've known their family for a long time.
Fantastic race, the Silver Bullet Day, race 12. Again, the race preceding the LeCompte. It will go at 5:20 Central. That's 6:20 Eastern. The race preceding that one is, and we're kind of working, you know, from the back to the front here, John. The Colonel E.R. Bradley, mile and a 16th on the turf. Another really competitive race and always a fun race.
Yeah, I mean, always enjoy the Colonel Bradley Stakes. You know, we mentioned the Samsung Farm dispersal. I saw that, you know, obviously, you know, that was in the news and a few seasons ago. A French Beret was a two-time winner. Took the Colonel Bradley Stakes out years back-to-back for Samsung Farm, Mark Frost did. And so I was thinking of them when they had the dispersal, the red and gold sleeves of Samsung Farm, such famous colors when we were talking even about Jodmont Farms. But talking about famous, I mean, Louis Roussel III, a past owner, of the fairgrounds and the Risen Star horse, speaking of my old Naira days, was there when he won the Belmont Stakes. And Mr. Louis got Sailing Solo, has a leading jockey, Mitchell Murrell. And, he, you know, I thought he ran, you know, first time off the layoff in the Buddy Deliberto Memorial, showed that speed. And I think he might run a big race today, his second start off the layoff, has the leading jockey, and Sailing Solo, if he's out there on the lead on the firm turf, he's a tough customer to reel in. And we'll see if Sailing Solo can do the business in the Colonel Bradley.
Well, if those three races aren't enough to attract your attention and get your blood pumping a little bit, how about the race before each of those three? That's the 10th race, which is the Grade 3 Louisiana Stakes. We get to see the return of last year's Louisiana Derby winner, Wells Bayou. And he looks like he could be a handful, but there are some other good ones in here, too.
Yeah, I mean, Sonneman, James Graham mentioning about this, Steve Asmussen this season already, you know, having captured his 100th career Fairground Stakes win, the century for Steve, and, you know, a nice little milestone in his Hall of Fame career. But, you know, Sonneman has that, you know, positional pace. He was second in back of, well, Maxfield, you know, in the Tenacious. So that's good enough for me to raise Sonneman's stock. And I think he'll be, you know, certainly Wells Bayou will be the target for Sonneman. Sonneman, I think, having exited the Tenacious Stakes, I mean, nobody's been able to lay a hoof on Maxfield. And I think Sonneman can run a big one in the Grade 3 Louisiana Stakes with a two-time Fairgrounds champion, James Graham, for Steve.
All right, so the race before that, we're continuing to work from back to front here. Race number 9 is the Marie Krantz Memorial, mile and a 16th on that turf course, which, as you said earlier, should be firm this afternoon at the Fairgrounds. How'd you see that one, John?
Yeah, by the way, I did confirm that with the Fairgrounds stewards. They said that we are firm today, so we're fast and
perfect.
Firm, sunny, and 50, so kind of a chilly day, but you know, for us down here in New Orleans. But we are fast and firm, and I just love the German bred mare, Galica. Miguel Mena rides for Al Stahl, and I was talking to Al about this mare, and they have high hopes for her. I mean, when she's on the top of her game, she's tough to beat, as was the case last time out. She's the last out course and distance winner in the Blushing KD. And, you know, Al mentioned, by the way, Delica for international racing fans, for your listeners that love international racing. She yesterday has a full sister drawn to race, was a fourth on debut in Deauville for Andre Fabre. So I'm kind of keeping my eyes on her full sister named Drawn to Race, who's over there in France. And Delica, she's the morning line favorite. I think she's going to be tough with Miggy for Al in the Marie Krantz Memorial.
All right, and the first stakes of the day is actually early. It's race number 3. It is the Duncan F. Kenner, 5.5 furlongs on the turf course. You alluded to this race earlier. Who do you like in that one?
I've always been a fan of Maniwa, the cat man. I mean, you talk about New Orleans. He's a great cook and a great conditioner. Miggy's running this one for the cat man, Wayne Catalano, Maniwa, and he ran it at Thanksgiving. And he was charging at the end. You know, he had the wide bid and was gobbling up ground, no pun intended, in the Thanksgiving handicap. And I've always liked Maniwa. I mean, turf sprint stakes. I mean, Arcadust is tough. I mean, he just won the Richie Shearer Memorial. And but I think Maniwa might give a good account today. I mean, second month since that Breeders' Cup main track sprint. But I'm going to give Maniwa, supplemented to the Duncan F. Kenner for the Catman, you know, a big look around 5-1. But and again, Ricardo Santana Jr. is only 8 wins away from 1,500 career wins. And of course, he'll be riding a lot more for Steve Asmussen there in Hot Springs. So kind of keeping our eye on a Ricardo march to a milestone for 1,500. He's 8 away, and he'll be in the Duncan F. Kenner in race 3.
one of the premier announcers in the sport today, John G. Dooley. He has been for a very, very long time. And if you can't tell when you hear him talk, he is just so on top of the game. John, really do appreciate the visit and all the insight, and look forward to hearing the calls later this afternoon at the fairgrounds.
Sunny, fast, and firm, and cheers for having me on. Really appreciate it.
All right, you're the best. John G. Dooley here on HRRN. Huge, huge day at the fairgrounds. The LeCompte Stakes is the featured event, but there are, as you just heard him say, so many other outstanding races coming up on this Saturday program. Going to get to another break. I'll come back and wrap this one up and tell you what's ahead on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Gainsway Stallion Caracanti is off to a strong start at stud. A leading sire amongst his crop by percentage of stakes horses, top runners by Caracanti include graded stakes winners Kenzai Warrior.
But Kenzai Warrior is sticking his head down and getting up. Kenzai Warrior wins the Horace Hill.
Sole Volante.
On the outside, Sole Volante runs by the leader. It's Sole Volante in front and going away.
Two-year-old stakes winner Spanish Love Affair.
16th to go, Spanish Love Affair almost home. Spanish Love Affair lives up to the hype and wins it 1-2.
And dual surface dynamo, Princess Grace.
16th to go, Princess Grace still in front. Pasta Plate is trying hard, but she's second to Princess Grace, streaking under the wire, the three-length winner.
A rising star with greatest stakes winners on both dirt and turf, Caracanti, standing at Gainsway.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Racing fans, although there is still no public admittance, you can watch every Santa Anita race free of charge at santaanita.com/live, and you can watch and wager at First Bet. That's first.com/bet. And with the resumption of racing at Golden Gate Fields, the $5 Golden Hour Double and the $1 Golden Hour Pick Four are now once again available. This Saturday is California Cup Day at Santa Anita, and we'll have a total of five stakes, including the $200,000 Cal Cup Derby, which was won by two-time horses the year California Chrome in 2014. The $200,000 Unusual Heat Turf Classic presented by City National Bank and the $200,000 Leanne Howard Cal Cup Oaks will also figure prominently on a 10-race card. And fans, be sure to mark this Monday Martin Luther King Day on your calendar, as we'll have special holiday racing highlighted by the Grade 3 Megahertz Stakes for fillies and mare. First post time is at 12 noon.
I'm Robert Wilkie, Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs. 155 years ago, President Lincoln called upon us to care for America's veterans. Today, you can help answer that call. We are looking for physicians, nurses, and other medical professionals to help protect veterans from the coronavirus. Go to va.gov/joinus or text VA physician or VA nurse to 97211.
This is Florent Giroux, and you are listening to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by HealthNetics CBD.
Well, the January 16th issue of Blood Horse Magazine and Tablet is one that you absolutely will not want to miss. Features include trainer Mike Maker, whose 2020 season was a career best. Owner Michael Kisber mixes some new with his successful racing stable, which is pretty cool, and retiring Keeneland Director of Broadcast Services G.D. Hieronymus, who has done a fantastic job at Keeneland for so many years. He's going to be missed. G.D., nice feature on him in this January 16th issue of Blood Horse Magazine and Tablet, and the first quarter of the National Stakes conditions on there, too. You can download a copy of the issue now from the Blood Horse Magazine app via the App Store or Google Play, or you can subscribe at bloodhorse.com/subscribe. Before I wrap it up, I had a chance this week to head down to a brand-new sporting goods store in Nicholasville, Kentucky, and sit down, socially distanced, of course, with owner Tevis McCauley from Whitetail Heaven Outfitters. It's a deer hunting outfitter, which is like the premier deer hunting excursion in the, well, really, one of the premier excursions in the United States, but certainly here in central Kentucky. His new Whitetail Heaven Outfitters Elite Outdoor Superstore is located in Nicholasville. It's on 101 Bradley Drive. If you head down Nicholasville Road from the Fayette Mall, it's only 3 miles south of the Fayette Mall, 2.5 miles south of Man of War. Head down there and check it out. They have all the clothing. They have an archery range. He's getting more and more products in. They have the boots, the ammunition, whatever you want. It's all there. The Whitetail Heaven Outfitters Elite Outdoor Superstore. And tell them that you heard about it right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. It's pretty cool. If you're a deer hunter or a duck hunter or a fisherman, that's the place to be. All right. My thanks to all of our guests who made this show possible. Norm Cassie, Natalie Voss, and John Dooley. That big announcement earlier, if you missed it, January 30th, this show expanding to 3 hours, going to 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Going to be a lot of fun. For my producer, Lee Delapina, in our Lexington studio, for Chauncey, handling all of our social media, I'm Mike Penna. Thanks for listening. No ghost dealers today. I'm mad at you.